Well, good morning, everyone, and I would like to take this opportunity to welcome each of you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is a beautiful day, and no matter what that weather may be, it's a beautiful day when we have that opportunity to spend the time, to spend this time with our Heavenly Father, and I hope that each of you are doing well. Our brother of the hour definitely needs no introduction to each of us. We know our brother, Buzz Brickhouse. But I would ask that we would each say a prayer for our brother and that we would each say a prayer for ourselves, that we would open up our hearts and open up our minds to that message that we are to receive. And so I turn it over now to our brother, Buzz.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate your prayers. I'm thankful to be among the body of Christ this morning, as I always am. I was recently had the privilege of being at the New York reunion, and we had a wonderful reunion. The Lord's Spirit was there. I had a good turnout. There were probably as many from Canada as there was from the United States. But they sent their greetings to their brothers and sisters throughout the country here, and I'd like to pass that on. I'm not going to bring anything new today, but I want to remind us that we are the body of Christ. We have responsibilities, but the Lord has promised that He'll bless us in our walk in life as we attempt to serve Him and to let our light shine. I'm going to begin by reading in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Paul's talking to the Corinthians here about spiritual gifts. I'm going to pick up in the 12th verse to the 18th, talking about the body. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members are that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling? But now God has set members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased Him. You know, God has called each one of us out in the world to please Him for His purposes. And that's the thing that I want to remember. You know, recently in India, in May when I was there, I found out that the man that drives our vehicle, or the vehicle we rent, he's a member of the church, but in India they have a caste system, it really is illegal now, but the culture still has it, and his caste was a higher caste than most of the members of the church, which really surprised me. Because you'd never know it, but they told me that normally the caste, the different caste, would not socialize together. It would be frowned upon. In fact, if somebody has an education and say to be a teacher, but they're not in that caste, they won't get hired. And I thought that was all done, but as they expressed in their joy that in the body of Christ, we're all one. There's no difference, bond or free or whatever caste we're in. We're all members of the body of Christ. And I was glad that they realized that. They fellowshiped one with another and had great love one for another and respect. And so we have to remember that God has placed us here for His purpose. I'm going to continue with the 19th verse. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head unto the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked, that there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. So we're given an explanation as to how the different parts of the body care for one another and work together and support each other. That's how we're to be. And not only that there would not be any chisms in the body that would to separate us, but to give us strength, spiritual strength, to withstand the trials and temptations of the world. That's why the Lord instructs us, you know, to meet together off, that we might hear testimonies and have and gain a spiritual strength from others' honest walk in life, that we might be blessed. 26 verse, it says, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, the gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of the miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covered earnestly the best gifts, and I show unto you a more excellent way. We're to support each other in love and in righteousness, and He will bless us, as He said, He in a more excellent way. And I'd like to turn over to the fifth chapter of Romans and read there. Excuse me. 12th chapter of Romans, 5th verse. For we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. Or ministry, let's wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhorting. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And he goes on, telling us a more excellent way. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. We're to abhor evil. We're to be a frame of a mind that we recognize it and want to flee from it. But to cleave, to grab hold of a lot of iron and those things that are good. We're to, verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. We're to not be slothful in business. We're to be good employees. We're to treat each other fairly and our employees and fellow employees well. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We serve the Lord by our daily walk in life and righteousness. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Mindful that we need to bring all things to our Heavenly Father in prayer and supplication. Not losing sight of that perfect brightness of hope that we have of eternal life. To be patient in our tribulation because they give us experience. by that we have hope and know that God is faithful. Quickly, to turn to prayer for all things. Verse 13, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, loving one another, caring for one another, supporting one another. To rejoice in those with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep, be of the same mind one to another. We're to love one another. Continue to place and prefer our brothers and those around us, that it might be found well, and that we might understand that God is in charge of all things and place them into His hands. We go on in Corinthians in the 13th chapter, and it tells us, you know, again referring some to that more excellent way. Telling us that, you know, although we might have all the spiritual gifts and be able to prophesy and have all knowledge and have great faith and that we can move mountain, that if we don't have charity, we are nothing. Book of Mormon tells us to pray for it with all the energy of heart. Reminding us, I think, that, you know, that's now our natural state. Naturally, we're selfish and prideful, and we have to humble ourselves and goes on and he says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaulteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. You know, we have a need when we read the scriptures to meditate upon the things that the Lord is saying. I know at times that, you know, I will read something, and especially like that I just read that I've heard many times, and don't give it enough attention, because it's calling us to change our life. It's calling us to take stock of ourselves and to see where we are according to the Word of God. You know, do we have patience? Do we suffer long? You know, are we kind one to another? Do we pray that we might have kindness? Have we set aside our envies and our pride? Are we easily provoked, or are we tempered? Are we able to control those emotions that the Lord doesn't want us to have? Are we enduring? Are we bearing the things and accepting what God has placed on us and asking Him for strength and forbearance and faithfulness that we might continue? So he gives us these words, and I think we have a need to take them personal, to look at them and to decipher, why did the Lord have that written? You know, just this quote here on charities, you know, we find it a couple places in the Book of Mormon, the telling us that if we don't have it, we are nothing. And so we need to look within ourselves and attempt to put ourselves in line with the teachings of Jesus Christ. He goes on and talks about spiritual gifts. He goes on and he talks about tongues and he talks about gifts that should be used for edifying the body of Christ. And you know, we're called to do that. We're called to pray for spiritual gifts that they might be given to us, not to raise us up, but that the body of Christ might be edified. We find in many of the third world countries that a Pentecostalism that is present in most of the churches there. And there's confusion when they pray all together, and there's confusion. They might try to attempt to speak in tongues because, you know, that's the things that they have heard. That's the teachings that they have had, and they believe that's the way that they're to worship. But that's not what Christ is telling us. That's not what the Scriptures tells us. That we're not an author of confusion, but that we should do all things in order. And it tells us to do all things one at a time, that we might hear others' prayers and be strengthened, and we might remember them in our prayers, that they might receive those things that will bring them to Christ and to strengthen them in their daily walk in life. There is to be peace in the church. The Lord has a place to an order in things. He's instructing us to give importance to spiritual gifts, to give importance to our role. Why has God placed you and I in His church? Think about that. He had a purpose for His will. There's a purpose in us to use our talents, whatever they might be, to know them and to exercise them, to glorify God in our daily walk in life. You know, the saying goes that some people, the only Scripture they see is our walk in life. We're to be a light unto the world. We're to be different. If we find ourselves doing all the things that everybody else in the world is doing, we need to take stock. We're to be different. And we need to be prepared as the lines get divided between the teachings of the world and the teachings of the Church of Christ. We see the day and the time that we live. We see that the iniquities in the world, those things that were illegal, are now legal, and the cultural changes that is evoking our country and the world, for that matter. But the Word of God never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, forever. And so we can't let those things change us. We have to be steadfast. We're going to be persecuted for it. We're going to be wrought upon for it. But God is faithful. He will bless us. We endure. I'd like to turn to 1 Peter. Everybody with me still?
Yep.
Yes, you bet.
Well, good. I'd be worried there for a second. let me change that. 2 Peter, first chapter. I'm going to start in the 19th verse. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, wherein ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing there is first that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy come in old time by the will of man, but came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now we are so fortunate in the Church of Christ that to have two records that witness of Jesus Christ, to have that those that guideline to follow. You know, Isaiah in the 8th chapter and the 20 verse says, to the law, to the testimony. If they speak not according to these things, there is no light in them. So, you know, here we have the Bible, the Book of Mormon, that we would know the sure word of God. Comparing it to the world that we live in. Comparing it to the things that they now see are okay and that we have to follow and should honor. But the Scriptures tell us no. And the Lord has promised He will bless His people. And we'll be able to endure these trials, these temptations, the persecutions, the affairs of the world. Because we have to be that light. That's one of the reasons that He's called us out of the world, to be the light in a sea of darkness. And He has promised He'll continue to be with us. He has promised us marvelous promises we find in 1 Corinthians in the 2nd chapter that we can't even imagine because I was never seen. I'm going to just quickly read that if I can find it. 9th verse, 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. But He has revealed those things to us by His Spirit. He's revealed them by the prophecies that are written and that we have. And we're to seek Him to have those things spiritually confirmed to our heart, because that's the blessings that He's promised us. In 2 Nephi, in the 13th chapter, talking about baptism, talking about after we've entered into the water and we have been baptized and had hands laid upon us for the reception of the Holy Ghost, you know, asking us, is all done? And it says, nay, it's not all done. I'll find it. Verse 24, it says, and the gate by which you should enter is repentance and baptism by water. I'm reading in the 2 Nephi in the 13th chapter. And then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. Then are ye in that straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. You've entered in by the gate. You've done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son. And you have received the Holy Ghost with witnesses of the Father and the Son unto the fulfilling of the promise which He hath made, that if you enter in by the way, you should receive. And now, my beloved brother, after you've gotten into this straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Wherefore I say unto you, nay, for you have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ. With unshaken faith in Him, relying wholly upon the merits of Him who is mighty to save. Wherefore, you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if you shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way nor name given under heaven whereby man can be saved, the kingdom of God. I love that particular reference. It has so much hope into it. We have been obedient. We have gone down into the waters and been baptized. We've have repented of our sins. We've received a remission of our sins. They've been removed, and we're free. That abides with us. A gift that God has given to those that he's called out of the world into his church. A gift that has been given to you and I. But it's for naught unless we use it. Do we allow that spirit that abides within us to direct us in our life? Do we humbly come and ask for direction and decisions that we must make? He's promised us that he'll teach us all the things that we need to know to have eternal life. He'll direct us. He'll bless us with discernment of good and evil. He'll warn us. He'll give us spiritual strength to stand firm. He goes on and tells us to remember with a perfect brightness of hope. Never let Satan take our hope away from us. Because God never changes. The world changes. Things will be turned upside down. But he's promised us eternal life if we are faithful. Perfect brightness of hope. The love of God and of all men. We're to remember to have charity, to prefer one another, to have patience. The Lord is patient with us. We're to be forgiving, and he will forgive us. If we have a weakness or we have a sin and have gotten angry, whatever it might be, if we humbly come and ask for forgiveness, he'll forgive us and strengthen us. And by those experiences, we become stronger and we'll be able to withstand the trials of the world. Let's turn to 2 Peter. And second chapter of 2 Peter. Says the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. He knows how to do that. He'll help us. There's not anything that we can't overcome. And to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. The Lord knows it. We have to allow him to do it. In the third chapter, starting in the 9th verse, says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that we should all come to repentance. If we make mistakes, if we stray, his arms of mercy are extended to us. He is long-suffering towards us. He will welcome us back if we come with a contrite spirit, broken heart. But it goes on, it says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought to be in all holy conversation and all goodness? The things of the world are going to be done away with. The physical things, they mean nothing. And requiring that we reflect on what manner of person ought we to be. in holy conversation of godliness. Looking for the hastening unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens shall be on fire, the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Behold, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye be found of him in peace, without spot, blameless. We're to be diligent. We're to use the gifts that God has given us to allow his spirit to direct us in our life. We're to use our talents to edify the body, to strengthen the body. We're to hold one another up in our prayers and our supplications. We're to bear testimony in God's goodness and love, that we might all be strengthened and be edified by those things that the Lord might have given us as a blessing to give us strength in our life. And we're to be diligent that we may be found in him in peace without spot and blameless. We can't give up the battle. We have to keep on encouraging each one of us, one and another, that the Lord might strengthen us, or we might be able to endure to the end. In 1 John, in the second chapter, starting in verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation of our sins, and not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, hereby knowing that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself so to walk, even as he walked. We have his example for us, and we would know how to walk our life. He has given the perfect sacrifice for our sins. He's our advocate. He's taken upon him himself our sins, and extends his arms of mercy to us, that we might have eternal life and dwell with him and his Father eternally. In the 15th verse, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Where are our priorities? If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If we give preference to the things of the world, and, you know, we all do to some extent. We're bombarded by the things of the world. We're taught to strive for them in school. The ads on our TV or on the billboards, wherever we are in conflict to the teachings of Jesus Christ. So that's why it's so important that we remember each other in our prayers, and that we attend church or phone church or classes and study together whenever possible, that we can combat that with the world, with the Word of God. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And we need to remember that. It goes on, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Changeable God, same yesterday, today, and forever. He knows our needs. He knows our walk in life. And his goal is to help us to endure, to give us that spiritual strength and the wherewithal to overcome. Verse 24, let therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teach you of all things and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. That comforting spirit, that gift to the Church of Christ, to the members of the Church, we're to not to neglect the gift that is given to us, to allow it to direct us in our life, to call on it, to seek its still small voice. It's the only way we can survive in the world. But the Lord has given to us, that to us as a gift for our edification and our spiritual strength that we might overcome. And he is not slackful. In the Alma in the 17th chapter, starting in the 16th verse, 65th verse, so now, my son, remember the words which I have spoken unto you. He's giving instructions to his son, telling him not to teach him the things of the world, he says, but teach them an everlasting hatred against sin and iniquity. Everlasting hatred against sin. We have a responsibility to teach our children that. We have a responsibility to understand that, to put it to practice in our life. These things that are written are for us, for each member. Preach unto them repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to humble themselves and to be meek, lowly in heart. Teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil with their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just what we've been talking about. We were to repent. We're to put aside the sins. We're to seek those sins out in our life and have a fervent desire to remove them. We're to have a godly sorrow in such an extent that we are not only sorry for our action, but we have a fervent desire never to have that again. Teach them never to be weary of good works, but to be meek and lowly of heart, for such shall find rest to their souls. Never stop doing good. The world will persecute us for it. They will mock us. They will laugh at us. The Lord says, never stop. Never be weary of good works. But to continue to be meek and lowly of heart. And that we will find rest for our souls. What a wonderful promise we have. What a wonderful knowledge that the Lord has given us that he never changes. And the things are repeated time and again throughout the scriptures. That we might know that although the teachings of the world are teaching the opposite. That these things are done away with, and the time that we're, as the culture changes, we must change our priorities and the rules and what's more moral. But God says no. He goes on and gives us explanations in the scriptures of previous cultures that didn't follow his word, and he had to destroy them. Sodom and Gomorrah. Only a few righteous people were saved out of it. Noah and the flood, you know. And he gives us the example of those that mocked Noah, laughed at him, you know. It had never rained. And here he is building an ark because the Lord told him to. And everybody laughed at him. And the rains came. And he and those his faithful family were those that were preserved, just as he will preserve his people the last day. just as he saved those few out of Sodom and Gomorrah that were faithful, just as, you know, he will, those promises are for you and I. And we're to make sure that we never let anybody take those, that hope away from us. And he goes on, he said, "And remember, my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Yea, and cry unto God for all thy support." So important for us, for the young, our brothers and sisters that are listening to me, you know, to partake of the blessings of God and allow him to teach us and allow him to direct us in our life and to keep his commandments and receive those spiritual blessings that he has promises that they'll strengthen us. And that's for each one of us, you know, in the days of our youth, you know, or we're not going to get any younger. So it's for all of us. Yea, let all things, all doings be unto the Lord, and whithersoever thou goest, let it be in the Lord. Yea, and let all thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Yea, let the afflictions of thy heart be placed upon the Lord forever. Counsel the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good. You know, he gives us a lot of good words and instructions there. Let all thy doings be unto the Lord. Have a purpose in life. Oh, we have to care for our physical body and our families and have to work. But, you know, those opportunities in itself give us an opportunity to let our light shine to those other ones around us by being good stewards, by being faithful, by being honest, by dealing righteously with our neighbors and those that we have contact with. And wherever the goal, you know, make sure that where we're going in the Lord. That the Lord would want to be with us in those places, and that we are going to a place that we can glorify His name in our life. But the concerns of the world, or the concerns of not devour us, that we forget to remember the Lord and to place him first and have faith in him and ask him for direction in each one of our doings. You know, he tells us to pray for everything. Flocks of the field, whatever it is, the Lord wants us to petition him in their behalf, and he'll bless us. We're to pray to him at night when we lie down to him, and he'll watch over us in our sleep. And when we rise up in the morning, let our hearts be full of thanks unto God. And if you do these things, you should be lifted up the last day. What a marvelous promise that is. And that's for you and I, as members of the body of Christ, that if we allow him to direct us, if we allow him to admonish us, correct us when we're wrong, if we allow and seek his will in our life and we make day-to-day decisions, if we glorify him in our day, if we remember each other in our supplications, we'll be lifted up at the last day and we shall have eternal life. We're given in the scriptures that in the Book of Mormon, after the coming of Christ on this continent, that it says that they fellowship and they grew and let's see, I'm going to turn to it. It's in 4th Nephi. Well, I have the wrong reference. At any rate, the point I was trying to make, that They had all things common. They were blessed, and they had a steadfastness in Christ. He continued to bless them and to give them strength. Here it is. And it came to pass in the 34th year, passed away, and also the 35th, and behold, the disciples of Christ had formed a church of Christ in all the lands round about. And as many as did come unto them and did truly repent of their sins were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and they did receive the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in the 36th year that the people were all converted unto the Lord upon all the face of the land, both Nephites and Lamanites. And there was no contention and disputations among them, and every man did deal justly one with the other. And they had all things common among them, and therefore there was not rich and poor, bond and free, but they were all made free and partakers of the heavenly gift. In verse 11, behold, it came to pass that the people of Nephi did wax strong, and did multiply exceeding fast, and became exceedingly fair and delightsome. As we seek God's will in our life, we will become strong. We will wax strong by the spiritual experiences, and we'll be able to overcome and endure. So we have to continue in faith. We have to search the scriptures out and see what their meanings are for us in our life, that we might know what the Lord, why he has called us out into the world and placed them in his church, that we might use our talents to uphold each other, to strengthen each other, and to be the light of the world. So we have been told to go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, that they might be saved. And we find that today that happening in the Church of Christ, that we're enabled and been blessed to go out into the world and to preach. Sign of the time, that because the Lord has told us that before the second coming, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And then the end will come. And we see, and even in our lifetime here, the church has been able to extend the teachings throughout the nations of the world. And there will be more as God has called people and they're searching. You know, the experience that we have in some of these countries is that they have prepared themselves, the Lord has prepared them, I should say, to receive the gospel. There is a spirit of belief. And when they hear it, they accept it and have come into the fold. And I know that the Lord is preparing more. And he's preparing those people in this country as we have contacts of those that are searching. And his mighty work is going to come forth, and we can rejoice. But the body, you and I, must remain strong. We must remain faithful. We must personalize those things that are written in the scripture. Meditate upon them. Consider them. Judge our lives to ensure that we're in accordance, that it might be found well with us. Where are we going and what we're doing pleasing to the Lord? Are we conscious of those things that are evil? Are we abhorring them and separating ourselves from them? Are we being his peculiar people? The Lord will bless each one of us. Our endeavors to serve him. We need to seek his will in our life. We need to lay hold. We need to come and be perfected in. We need to pray for charity with all the energy of heart. We're reminded in the book of Jude to earnestly contend for those things that we have been taught. Jude understood that the day and the time we lived in, that the world was ripened in iniquity, but that if we were steadfast, if we earnestly contended and we were diligent, we would receive a blessing. He warned us there in Jude in the 16th verse, there are murmurers, complaining, walking in their own lust, and their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that how they told you there should be mockers in the last day who shall walk after their own ungodliness. Thus, these are they who separate themselves, central, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, telling us what to do, showing us that, but we, building up ourselves with our holy faith, praying to the Lord, allowing the Holy Spirit to direct us. Goes on and says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto this eternal life. That's the promises of God. Time and time again, he tells us he never changes. We can rejoice in the fact. The blessings that we have in the Church of Christ, that we don't take them lightly, but we allow them to envelop our life and direct it, and that we might be strengthened one with another. Thank you. I'm thankful for this time that we had. I hope we'll consider the things. I hope that when we read the scriptures, we look at them and reflect it personally, how we think that we need to apply those in our life, and the Lord will bless us. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Boss.